Our guest today on Via Gars is Dr. Lynn O'Neill, a palliative care physician, geriatrician, and internist who provides inpatient and outpatient palliative medicine consultation at the Atlanta VA Medical Center. She also provides inpatient consultation at Emory University Hospital and Emory University Hospital Midtown. She is the Associate Program Director for the Hospice and Palliative Medicine Fellowship at Emory University and Acting Associate Professor of the Emory University School of Medicine. Dr. O'Neill, what is palliative care?
Palliative care is a relatively new medical specialty which provides care focused on relief of pain and other symptoms and on maintaining quality of life in patients who have serious illness.
Is there a particular age range to receive this service?
Palliative care is available for patients of any age. Certainly any age person receiving care at the VA Medical Center would be eligible.
And what determines if a patient should be getting palliative care?
We define it as being for anyone living with a serious illness. Serious might otherwise be defined as something that might have the potential to be life-threatening, and the idea is that we want to care for those patients throughout the time that they're living with that illness.
Where do veterans get palliative care?
Most of the care provided by our service at the VA is provided at the VA Medical Center in Atlanta. The primary interactions that we have with veterans are those who are admitted to the hospital. Sometimes we will be asked to see patients who are admitted to the hospital. And we also have a relatively large outpatient practice, again, located here at the Atlanta VA, where we see patients on an outpatient basis.
What do you consider to be a serious illness?
Certainly, most types of cancers would be defined as a serious illness. Other illnesses that are serious, such as congestive heart failure or other chronic heart conditions that are potentially life-threatening, would be considered a serious illness. Lung disease, such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, or emphysema. Other lung diseases that are less common, that people haven't heard of as frequently, things like pulmonary fibrosis would also qualify as a serious illness. Neurologic conditions such as ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, and other illnesses that involve organ failure. So end-stage kidney disease, certainly in people, for instance, who have end-stage kidney disease who opt not to receive dialysis, or in people who have end-stage liver disease.
What services do you provide palliative care patients?
Well, what we find is that people with serious illnesses, such as the ones I've described, are often followed by one or more doctors or other providers in that specialty. So, for instance, a patient with congestive heart failure would be followed closely by the cardiology clinic. And they would be very focused on the patient's heart function, on making sure they were on the right medications to maintain their heart function for as long as possible. But what those specialists sometimes aren't as attuned to as the other ways in which their illness is affecting a person's life. So because they're so focused on making sure all the heart medicines are right, they might forget to ask a person, how is this heart disease affecting your life? You know, what does a typical day look like? What types of ways is this illness affecting your function such that you're limited in your ability to get around the house and do the activities that you need to do to live? Or are you actually not able to leave the house because of physical limitations related to the disease? Are you experiencing depression because of this? Are you having trouble with your sleep? Are you having trouble with, other other things that just may not come up in the course of a regular visit. And that very broad and sort of full view of the person is what we try to assess in a palliative care visit. And then after identifying the primary sources of a patient's suffering, or to put it a different way, the primary ways in which their life, their quality of life, is being negatively affected, then we try to intervene in each of those areas through various methods.
How did you get into palliative care?
Well, I was actually introduced early to the idea of palliative care. As a medical student, I became interested in the field, although when I was a medical student, it was still a field in its infancy, and it didn't exist at every medical school, and it didn't exist in my medical school, actually. But what did exist was an elective in spirituality and medicine, and during that elective, we talked a lot about care at the end of life, which I actually haven't mentioned in relation to the term palliative care, and I can talk about that in a minute. But through that elective, I became interested in palliative care and sought out other educational opportunities to get further exposure in it.
You mentioned end-of-life care. Is it similar to palliative care?
We try to avoid talking about palliative care as being synonymous with end-of-life care, because it's certainly not. It's much more than that, and it's all of the things I've described. And really, our hope would be that we interact with patients and families earlier on in the course of their illness, so that they have the opportunity to benefit from our services while they're living with the illness, not just while they're when they come to the end of their life as a result of the illness. That being said, we are involved in caring for patients at the end of life, in addition to caring for them while they're living with the illness.
So you would not necessarily identify your services as hospice?
Well, not exactly. I can talk a little bit more about that. The easiest way to understand the difference between palliative care and hospice is that all hospice is palliative care, but not all palliative care is hospice. To unpack that a little bit more, hospice is a service. It's a benefit of insurers for most patients. It's a benefit of Medicare. And it is for people who have a life-limiting illness and whose prognosis is thought likely to be less than 6 months by, as determined by two physicians. So hospice is a benefit that is reserved for a specific segment of people who would be eligible for palliative care. In other words, palliative care does not have a time limit on it. We want to see people as early in their disease process as possible, and we hope, and it's a great joy when we work with patients who live with their illness for years.
What is one of the main goals of your program?
We hope that we are doing a good job at educating our colleagues, those providers who work in the various, in primary care and the subspecialties, who care for patients with serious illnesses. We hope that we're educating them such that they think to refer their patients to see us. And like I said, we see patients as outpatients, or we often get referrals from people who are admitted to the hospital. That being said, we know that there are many veterans who aren't receiving our services simply because their provider may not be thinking about it or may not see why it might benefit this particular veteran sitting in front of them. So if a veteran or a veteran's family member were to be listening to this and think, gosh, that describes me, that describes my loved one, then they could reach out to us and talk with us about that, and a referral would still need to come from their physician, but we could help make sure that, or sort of give them the language to talk with their physician about, or their provider, about putting in that referral so that they could then see us.
So you get your patients through the referrals of other doctors?
Yes, it can. The referral can come from any physician or advanced practice provider, so a physician assistant or nurse practitioner who is seeing the patient in either primary care or any subspecialty clinics.
Any final thoughts?
Yes, I wanted to mention one other diagnosis that I left out in my laundry list of illnesses that might benefit from palliative care, and it's a huge one, so it was a that omission on my part, and that is patients living with dementia and their caregivers. Dementia is something that a lot of our older veterans struggle with, and their caregivers certainly do as well, and that's something, that's a diagnosis that would also be appropriate to see palliative care.
What do you do for dementia patients?
One of the things that we do for all of our patients, but it's important in patients with dementia, certainly earlier on in their dementia, is that we make sure to speak with each patient about advance directives. An advance directive is a document which has two parts. The first part is prompts a person to assign a durable power of attorney for healthcare. That person, the durable power of attorney for healthcare, is the person who would make medical decisions on a person's behalf if they were to lose the ability to make those decisions themselves. And this is very important for everyone and for many of our veterans. It's often something that either people have thought about and know who they want to make those decisions but haven't put it in writing, or they haven't thought about it at all, and bringing up the conversation helps to prompt them to think about, well, who would I want to be the point person and to make those decisions if I wasn't able to make them myself. It's particularly important with people for people with dementia, because they will unfortunately slowly lose the ability to make decisions for themselves and are likely to live for a relatively long period of time, often for years, in a state where they are alive and well physically but not mentally able to make healthcare decisions for themselves. So that's part of what we would do for patients with dementia, as we would do for any patients. Also for patients with dementia, we would try to facilitate conversations between patients and their family about special issues that often come up later in the course of dementia, but that can be helpful for patients and families to think about when the patient still is able to contribute their thoughts and feelings. Things like talking about feeding tubes and whether or not a patient would want something like that when they got to an advanced stage of illness. If they're able to have those conversations with their family members when they're mentally intact, then their family won't feel like they're having to make decisions in a vacuum without any information from the patient once that time comes.
We would like to thank Dr. Lynn O'Neill for being our guest on this month's edition of ViaGARS. The Atlanta VA Rehabilitation Research and Development Center of Excellence for Visual and Neurocognitive Rehabilitation, CVNR, and the Atlanta Office of the Birmingham, Atlanta VA Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center, GREC, proudly partner with GARS to reach veterans and their loved ones with information about research and services at the Atlanta VA Medical Center through this monthly broadcast, Veterans Information at GARS. The CVNR's mission is to foster the health and well-being of veterans through uniquely synergistic research impacting visual and or neurocognitive function. The mission of the GREC is to improve VA healthcare delivery to effectively meet the medical, psychological, and the social needs of older veterans through research, education, and the clinical services focused on mobility, palliative care, and incontinence.